So how was your week?
Good.
Mine was too. It was crazy busy. Like uncomfortably busy for me. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of my week just so that you're aware. I knew that I was going to preach today about 3 weeks ago. Maybe even a little bit longer than that, but I didn't realize that I would have a trip this week in the middle of it that I was going to have to leave for about from Wednesday through Friday. So I didn't realize that, and that was just a little strange too this week because of the whole coronavirus thing, and you can think what you want to think about it, but they basically shut down travel while I was traveling, and for the safety and everything of the employees and everything, and the airports were a little less crowded than what they sometimes are, so it was an interesting, it was almost surreal traveling then. But I am so thankful for brothers and sisters who knew that I was busy and struggling and wanted to speak this Sunday morning, and I feel like this was a team effort. I was definitely lifted up in prayer, so I want to thank everybody who is praying. It's awesome. Awesome to have a brotherhood of, and I include both, sexes in that one, but it's awesome to have a brotherhood and sisterhood of people that lift you up and pray for you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I'd like to, Emma, let's start off by looking at so on January 12th, I think it was, I spoke on God the Father, and I'm not exactly sure how I lumped all that into one message, but it worked out, and I think it was okay. This is not going to be one message. It's on the Holy Spirit, and I tried to lump it into one, and it was not working at all. There's too much to go over, too many things that I wanted to touch on and touch on more thoroughly than just a high overview. So what we're remembering, what we're going through is, so this one is not working, I take it. I'm going to stop looking that direction. I'm going to look that direction. Okay, all right, very good. We're going over this topic of what we believe, and we have a number of sermons that we've had about that, and the wonderful goodness of God the Father. We heard a message about baptism last Sunday. We've also heard messages about what Jesus did and how he made it possible to have right access to God the Father through his life and suffering, and how when we talked about God the Father, we talk about a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, yet they have separate entities. Some people have said different personalities, whatever. But I have a little bit of trouble sometimes just talking about the Holy Spirit because it's all wrapped up into one thing. But there are many things where it talks about the Holy Spirit in the Bible that we want to touch on, and I'm only going to be touching on a few of those this morning. And there will be at least a part two. So I'm calling this Holy Spirit Part One, as you can tell. But the very first thing I'd like to do is, let's remember our theme scripture that we are focused on as we move through these studies, and that is 1 Corinthians 3:11. And I'd like us to repeat it together, and we can use, I have an NKJV here, so New King James Version, if you want to read it up here, and let's just do it together. Ready? For no other foundation can anyone lay than what which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's do it again. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. So I like that. It's a foundational verse. It's a very foundational verse. Paul said it to one of the churches that gave him a lot of trouble but had a ton of potential in the Corinthians. And so I like it a lot. So it's important for us to look at Scripture and understanding that we are interpreting this through the lens of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So when we look at Scripture, we basically ask questions like, what would Jesus have done? Or what did Jesus do? Or what did Jesus say about that? And these are the types of questions that we raise as we look at Scripture Jesus came to show us God, right? Jesus came to show us God. Emmanuel, God with us. He came as an example of what our lives should look like and some of the things that we should be doing. In fact, Jesus said, greater things than what I've done you should be doing and so forth. So we have a lot to do. So an Anabaptist, I'm just letting you know a little bit of theology, but you don't have to stick with it. But an Anabaptist, a point of view is actually looking at the Bible and the scripture through the lens of the life, ministry, and death and resurrection of Jesus, okay? And having that as your lens. It's not a bad lens. So I'm just throwing that out there. So let's just pray before I go into the more of the message. Father, I just thank you so much for your spirit and for your life and giver of life, that you're the giver of life. I ask, God, that you would just speak through me this morning. Give me clarity of mind and help us all to hear from you, God. That's our goal, not to hear from me, but to hear from you this morning. And so I ask, God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear that. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to start by reading just a couple of things. By the way, last time I spoke, I was stumbling over scripture. It was a lot of scripture. And my wife goes to me like, why don't you get somebody to help you with that? And I'm like, that's a good idea. So I did. So Denise is going to be reading scripture for me. She has a microphone down there. So when I ask her to read scripture, she's going to read. She's following along. She's the only one that has my notes. And so she knows how far I'm going to get off my notes and when I come back and so forth. So that's her. But she's going to help read scripture. So this is part of the very beginning of the statement of faith of what we believe in on the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to start reading by this first section. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God who dwelled in Jesus Christ, who empowers the church, who is the source of our life in Christ, and who is poured out on all those who believe as the guarantee of our redemption and the redemption of creation. Through the Spirit of God, the world was created. Prophets and writers of Scripture were inspired. The people were enabled to follow God's law. Mary conceived, and Jesus was anointed at baptism. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus proclaimed the good news of the reign of God, healed the sick, accepted death on the cross, and was raised from the dead. So the very first point that is the Holy Spirit was and is involved in creation. The Holy Spirit was at the beginning and was involved and still is a creative Holy Spirit, right? So Denise, would you read Genesis 1, the two scriptures, and just for now so we can get going on this.
Genesis 1:1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Psalm 104:30. You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth.
Thank you. So again, both of those scriptures, you know, Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. What ended up happening is God spoke it, Holy Spirit performed it, things came something out of nothing. God made something out of nothing. That's not possible in our minds, in science. You have to start with something. That's the way it works. God doesn't work that way. God works in a way that actually things can become from nothing. There's nothing here, and there's something here. So I'm going to get off track, but I'm going to say this because it came to my mind right now. When you think that there's nothing here, so what? If you think about that in your life, and there's nothing, I'm at a dead end. There's nothing here. I don't even have anything to work with. So what? Give it to God. I'm going to say it again, though. It's a little difficult talking about the Holy Spirit as a separate entity, because God and the Holy Spirit all wrapped them up in one. So there are maybe times when I'm going to say God, and I'm going to say maybe even Jesus, and I'm going to say the Holy Spirit. But the focus this morning is on the identity or the aspect of part of God that works in the lives of those that turn to and trust in God. The Holy Spirit is a creator part of God. God spoke it, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Just as it was established that Jesus was at the beginning, so was the Holy Spirit. God spoke into existence that which was not in existence. The universe, galaxy, solar systems, world, plants, animals, and man was created by the creative God. Who could come up with all the different systems that we have in our world? And I didn't even touch it. When I just spoke about all those things, that encompasses a lot. But I didn't even talk about subatomic and microscopic, and you can keep on going on. How the world holds together, the polar systems, and oh my goodness, it's just mind-boggling. We spend lifetimes analyzing and trying to understand what was created. We still find new species and new aspects of science that we did not already know. Man discovers, God and the Holy Spirit creates. Man discovers, but God and the Holy Spirit creates. So the Holy Spirit is a creative being. He is God that will speak into existence that which was not there. He's a God that will take an impossible situation and make it into a blessing. He's a God that takes a discouraging situation and forms it so that you become shaped into His glory. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself, so that's one of the dangers of me being the preacher. Let's go to the next point. The Holy Spirit was and is speaking through the prophets and Scripture. Prophets and those that wrote Scripture were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture, Micah, clearly shows that the prophet Micah fully understood what he was doing and who the message came from. So could you read just the Micah 3:8 for now?
But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin.
There's no ambiguity on his part. He knew that this was God speaking to him, yet the people of his day doubted him and the authenticity of his message. Time has shown that he was authentic and did provide direction from God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Also note in that scripture that it says, but truly I am full of power of the Holy Spirit, that there is also power in the Spirit of the Lord. This is not a wimpy source of information. There is authority and power associated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the lens of how Jesus worked, in the power of the Holy Spirit, there was authority, there was compassion, and there was justice. There was authority, there was compassion, and there was justice as Jesus lived his life, his ministry, and when he died and when he rose again. Hallelujah. So that's how we look at the Scripture. Could you also then now read Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27?
I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
Amen. So Ezekiel is saying that was the first time we talk about, that I know about in Scripture, where we talk about heart surgery. I'm going to take out your heart of stone, your hard heart. I'm going to take out your heart of stone that's not giving you life, that's holding you back, and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh, a heart of flesh that's going to give you fresh and new life, a heart of flesh that's going to anoint you so that you can grow and live and obey my judgments and my statutes or laws. Only the Holy Spirit can create such a change as this. We try to convince people so much, like, come on, you gotta see this, you gotta believe this. Come on, we try to walk away and shake our heads and going like, what in the world? Why doesn't this person just understand the power of Jesus' love and so forth. And only the Holy Spirit can change this. It's our job to share, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to reach in and start changing that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He reaches in and just starts nudging, nudging, nudging. We need the soft heart that brings abundant life. Praise God, he's a heart surgeon. The Holy Spirit is a heart surgeon. Hallelujah. So the next point. This one was kind of a new concept for me as I was studying this. I guess I've always read these verses, but it never stuck into my head. The Holy Spirit conceived and empowered Jesus for his ministry. So I'd like Denise, if you could just read the first one here, Luke 1:26 through 37. It's a little bit longer, so go ahead.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible."
I wanted to include that, "for with God, nothing is impossible." The thing that struck to me, you know, the Word of God is alive. And the thing that just struck me as we were just reading it again is, how can this be, since I do not know a man? You don't need to know a man. With God, all things. You don't need to work by the power of man. You don't need to work by our own strength. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit can overcome you and take things over and change your life forever. For with God, nothing is impossible. It fascinates me that the Holy Spirit is involved both in the first and the second Adam. Created the first Adam, now he's creating the second Adam. I hadn't noticed that either before I started studying for this message. Creation in the beginning had the Holy Spirit moving over the face of the dirt deep, and now the Holy Spirit will come upon and overshadow her. The Holy Spirit is into doing new things with shadows of the old. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is into doing new things with shadows of the old. You talk about Abraham, and you talk about in the Old Testament where he took Isaac, his son, 3 days journey and was going to sacrifice him, and God says, "Hold it, hold it, hold it." In the New Testament, there was a shadow of the old to the new, 3 days in the tomb. God says, "Hold it, hold it, hold it. You're not going to kill my son." There are shadows of what happened in the past, patterns, if you will, of what happened in the past, and there are things that will still come for that. So we want to keep on looking at the lens of Christ's life, Jesus' life, and what he did. Remember, that's our lens. But I also find it, so when we have that lens, we understand, we can put into context some things that may be happening now, or put into context what the Scripture is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is in doing, I'll read it again, the Holy Spirit is into doing new things with shadows of the old. God's plans will not be thwarted. God's plans will not be thwarted. Jesus was also anointed by the Holy Spirit, and God the Father announced who Jesus was. Denise, could you read Luke 3:21 and 22?
When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased."
Hallelujah. So the announcement came forth just before Jesus started his ministry. He went to, John, you know the story, right? So he went to be baptized by John. John was like, "I know who you are, and I don't even deserve to untie untie your sandals." That's even higher. I don't think baptizing you is the right thing. And Jesus said, yes, it is the right thing. So when Jesus submitted himself to being baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and it said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And then he went off into the wilderness. So I don't know what Jesus was like as a young man. There's not a lot of scripture that, there's this huge gap between 12 and 30 in scripture. And I don't know what he was like. I often would like to have known. Was he just a really super nice guy, like the model son, and did everything right? We know he didn't sin. He was without sin, right? So he was a good guy. I don't know if he was like unusual, like, still did a miracle here or there, or, felt the presence of God in such a powerful way. But something happened during that anointing when the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus that he went off into the wilderness, and that's when he got tempted. Remember, he fasted for 40 days? That's when he got tempted in the wilderness. It was a moment, a stake in the ground in Jesus' life and ministry. Could you read the next one, Luke 4, 1 and 2?
Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry.
I had a message on the whole temptation of Jesus once, and when... Those are probably one of the most duh words in Scripture. Like, well, he was hungry after 40 days of not eating. Duh. But anyways, I digress. He was actually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is right after the baptism. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness for this time, right? So, and then again, goes through the temptation and everything, he comes back out, and this is still in Luke chapter 4, but I thought that this was interesting as well. So Luke 4, 14 and 15.
Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all.
So he got off to a really great start. It started off with a bang, his ministry. He was anointed. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. People were not sure what to do with him at this point. Well, most of his ministry, they weren't sure what to do with him. But he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. It boggles my mind that Jesus is the Son of God, right? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We call him Son of God. Sometimes it said Son of Man, but Matthew sometimes called him that. But he was the Son of God. He was God. And yet, he became empowered with the Holy Spirit in the baptism that was given and the anointing and the announcement or pronouncement, "This is my Son and with whom I'm well pleased." He became filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. If he had that moment, if he had that time, how much more so should we be? Think about that. We kind of brush it aside sometimes. How much more should we be open to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, to submit ourselves to the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit? Yes, Jesus was and is the Son of God, but he received power from the Holy Spirit. But it was by the power of the Holy Spirit Jesus proclaimed the good news of the reign of God, healed the sick, accepted death on the cross, and was raised from the dead. So too the Holy Spirit is available to the church. So too the Holy Spirit is available to us to empower us to preach the good news, to heal the sick, and to follow after God's calling in our lives. Have I said anything that's not scriptural yet? Please? We seem to ignore a lot of it. Can you tell that I was a little convicted when I was talking about getting this message together? I was very convicted. Why am I ignoring things? Lord of mercy.
He says, Lord, we will be able to do with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, even more than what I've done. Yeah, it's not just copying and emulating Jesus. He said we'd even be doing more. So we'll go on to the next section. At Pentecost, is this too heavy for you? Are you okay? Everybody okay? Give me some response here. I'm not sure. All right. We'll keep going. All right. At Pentecost, God began to pour out the Spirit on all flesh and to gather the church from among many nations. As a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the church praises and worships God and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. So I would like you to read now Joel 2:28-29.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days.
So Joel prophesied of days that would come, and actually it was quoted again by Peter in the next scripture. This is the longer scripture. I'm making Denise work hard for her pay today. She's not getting paid. I'd like, Denise, if you could just read all of Acts chapter 2. This is a powerful time in the church, okay? This is a really amazing time in the church. So go ahead, Denise, read.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
This is amazing scripture. You guys need to go home and read that again and realize what the power of the Holy Spirit did on the church and getting the church going. It all started with them being in one place at one time in unity and praying together. And then the Holy Spirit came down with tongues of fire and anointed them. And then Peter, who was always putting his foot in his mouth, Peter, the one who was always never quite sure whether or not he got this thing straight that was going on with Jesus, Peter, the one that said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. He actually was saying that to him at one point. That Peter is the one that all of a sudden starts giving this message, this powerful message, through the anointing and the power and the clarity of the Holy Spirit to say, this Jesus Christ who you crucified is the Son of God and is the way and pathway to Jesus Christ. I mean, to God the Father. And it amazes me. I need to wonder, so I could read and reread this over and over again. The initial move of the Holy Spirit in the church was pronounced, overt, powerful, and changed lives. That's how he works. He changes lives. I need to ask myself, why doesn't the church of today match the church of Acts chapter 2? Has the Holy Spirit been removed? No, not really. Have we been open to God doing a new thing in our midst? Maybe, but maybe we seem to be cautious about something might get out of control. Here I am saying that I have not been as open to God doing a new thing in our church as I would like to be. I've said the words, but maybe I haven't been open to it as much as I should be, need to be. I sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. But then am I willing to trust him? What grieves the Holy Spirit? Not listening to him. Forgive me, God, for grieving the Holy Spirit in my life and in my actions. We need to be and long to be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with fire as they experience in Acts chapter 2. We long for anointing, but we do not wait for the Spirit of God to move. Sometimes it's waiting. They were all together in unity in one place, praying together, waiting. They weren't sure what to do before this, by the way. They just knew they had some vague instructions about staying in one place and until I come again and work with you, right? Until I send the helper. They didn't really know what to expect. Bam. God bammed them. What would happen if we waited and prayed together for God to move among us until he did? I think it's powerful. I think it would be amazing. The good news is that the Holy Spirit can gently lead us and change our hearts as he speaks to us. But he can also knock us off our high horse like he did Saul. He speaks to us and ministers to us just as we need. Just like Jesus did to Martha and Mary. To Martha, he was all crying and soft and everything. To Martha, that was to Mary. To Martha, he gets like super direct because that's her personality. Bam, bam, bam. You know, like when we were talking to Lazarus and Lazarus had died and Martha is like, Mary's like, oh, and Martha's going like, Mary's spending all this time with you. Why aren't you coming over here? Why don't you send her over here and help me in the kitchen? He got real direct with Martha. God speaks to us with what we need. There may be times we need to be knocked across the head by the Holy Spirit, and there may be times when the Holy Spirit is just a gentle nudge. I have put in you, I'm reaching into you, and I'm changing your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He can work as he sees fit and will continue to woo us into the kingdom of God. Okay, we're getting close here. As a dwelling, this is the place where I was trying to figure out, do I add this part or do I wait and then make it a part 3 or 4 instead of just part 1 and 2 or something? So I'm adding it real quickly. And then we'll come back to and cover more of it in the next time whenever I share this message. As a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the church praises and worships God and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. By the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all Christians are called to carry out their particular ministries. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the church comes to unity in doctrine and action. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church preaches, teaches, testifies, heals, loves, and suffers. Don't like that last word. Following the example of Jesus, its Lord. Suffering for the cause of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not only for the Acts 2 church, but for the church for today. That's the next point. The Holy Spirit is not only... You hear this, church. The Holy Spirit is not only for the Acts 2 church, but for the church of today, for the church of right now. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Go ahead, Denise.
Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
A dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Go on to 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20.
Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Which are God's. And it says, your temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. It is not just for the early church, it is for today, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that we say things that sound nice sometimes, and we don't open up our hearts to really take advantage of what God has for us, the fullness of what God has for us. Now, I'm not going to get into all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be the next time around. But I do want to say that the creative work of the Holy Spirit continues to work in the lives of people today. Even when you can't see that he's working, right? Even when I don't feel that you're working. The Holy Spirit is tirelessly, creatively working, all for the purpose to bring mankind into right and wholesome relationship with God the Father, Abba God, Daddy God, that we can go and sit on his lap and say, God, I love you. Thank you for being my dad. We're adopted into the kingdom. Join heirs with Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit was creative in the past and continues to be creatively working today. Do not discount the subtle yet powerful work of the Holy Spirit in your lives, in our daily lives, the God moments that seem to come up your way. Don't discount them. Don't walk away from them. Engage them and embrace them. These moments as they come, they're basically adjusting, the Holy Spirit's adjusting the world and driving us to see and hear the voice of God in various ways. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you this morning? Are you sensing his call or a voice in your life? Is something that's poking at you like, oh, yeah. You know that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ? He's not giving up on you. It's not too late. As we sing the closing song, we may not really understand everything that God is doing in our lives. That's why I like this closing song a lot. He is the waymaker. We're singing it again, by the way, at the end, because it fits perfectly with this message. He's waymaker. He's a promise keeper. And even when we don't see him working, he's working. Even when you don't understand what he's doing, he's doing. Even when you don't get it, he's working. He's developing you. He's changing you from glory to glory. The disappointments in your life, the struggles in your life. When my daughter Rachel passed away, I remember driving home from work. That was about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And I remember driving home and going, God, is that all? Is that all there is? 20 years of this and now it just ends like this? Really? Even when you don't see he's working, he's working. We've had words that Rachel is ministering to our family even now in some ways. I don't know how theologically correct or incorrect that is, but I'm receiving it. I do know that she and her life changed our lives as we were ministering to her, and as our other children grew up, it impacted them when she was alive, and now it's changing lives even still by their ministry. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. So if you've had some disappointments in your life, and if you've had some problems in your life, and you just don't get it, like, God, why did this happen? I'd like you just to submit it all to the Holy Spirit and just say, God, I don't get it, but I do know that you are a promise keeper, that you are trustworthy, that you are good, and I submit it to you. I surrender to you. Keep trusting God and submitting to the call of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, by the way, he's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Worship team, would you come up? I'm just going to pray quick while they come up. Father, I thank you for this time and for speaking to my heart. And I ask God that you would, that this would go out, that your word would go out and that it would not come back void, that you would keep that promise too. Father, speak into our lives your calling and your will for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.